This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Tabak, for arranging this trip and helping making it possible. The Kehillah is very fortunate to have a Talmud Chacham of Rabbi Tabak's caliber, raising up the level of Torah and Avodah, and we'd like to be mevarech him and his family, that he should have many successful years together with the Kehillah of Lahagdil Torah Ladira. So over the past short time, I had the privilege to meet some of my good friends from South Africa. I see my friend Neil here and Jonathan. I want to thank Ilan for taking us around today. Actually, he took us to one of the gold mines. And it's quite interesting that South Africa and Johannesburg has one of the richest deposits of gold anywhere in the world. And I couldn't help but think, you know, there's a principle that everything in the physical world really parallels the spiritual universe. So if South Africa is such a repository of zahav, of gold, in the physical world, that must mean that the spirituality and the holy neshamos that are here are unparalleled anywhere in the world as well. And that's something that I'm coming to see firsthand. Thank you so much for having me. So the 3 weeks, the Shalosh Shavuos, the 3 weeks, how many days exactly are in the 3 weeks? The title of the shir is called Flying Letters, which, coming off of a plane, actually all the letters to me seem like they're flying off the page. How many days are in the 3 weeks? We usually call it the 3 weeks. Is that really an apt description for this period of the year? So we learned that last Shabbos, the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyahu, Perek Aleph, Vayhi devar Hashem elai lemar, and it was the word of God to me saying, Ma ata royeh Yirmiyahu, what do you see? What do you see? Actually, I got a shaila today. Somebody in America texted me. I have an unlimited plan. So someone texted me. He davened in a shul last Shabbos, where it was Parshas Pinchas, and the Baal Kori, not realizing that it was the 3 weeks, lain the haftarah of Parshas Pinchas, about Eliyahu Hanavi, didn't lain Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu. So what should be done next Shabbos? So actually, it's one of the rare exceptions. Very good. Give this man a cigar, okay? So it's one of the rare exceptions that next week's Haftarah is Perek Beis of Yirmiyahu, right? The acronym is Dashach, Shimu Dvar Hashem is Perek Beis of Yirmiyahu. So if you miss one of the Haftarahs of the Shalosh Shavuos or the Shiva Din Echemta, there's a Tshuva in the Tzemach Tzedek, that you'll actually have to make it up next week because it's a rare Haftarah which is legislated by I believe the Psikta, it's legislated by the Tar Shabbat Peh. Okay, be it as it may. So last week's Haftarah begins where the Ribbono Shel Olam says, what do you see, Yirmiyahu? Vo'imar makel shoker ani royeh. I see a blossoming almond branch. Makel shoker, a staff blossoming with almonds. Vayomer Hashem Elai, Hashem said to me, hey tafta l'rois, you see good. I am diligent, I will be diligent to carry out my edict. Rashi points out that what's the comparison between the shaked, the almond branch, and this period of the year? Says Rashi, the shaked, the almond branch, is memaher lahoitzi parakodim chol ilanos, is the swiftest producing fruit. Of all the fruits that exist, the one that produces fruit the quickest is the almond branch, the almond tree. And therefore, what the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying is, I'm not going to tarry, I'm not going to wait. Even though I said, v'noishantem ba'aretz, even though I said it's going to take a long time until I punish you, the punishment is coming very quickly. But then Rashi brings the Medrash Agada. Rashi says that if you're familiar with the way that the almond grows, it actually takes 21 days from Chanata, from the time that it blossoms, until it's fully ripened. Says Rashi, that is kaminyan the days, that is the same number of days as the days between Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. And therefore, Rashi is pointing out to us that the Ribbono Shel Olam is telling Yirmiyahu HaNavi that this is not just an analogy, a general analogy, this is not an allegory, this is a very specific example that I'm giving you. That this period of the year, the period of Peronios, the period of punishment, is exactly like an almond tree. An almond tree, it takes 21 days to grow. Likewise, this time of the year is 21 days, 3 weeks. By the way, there's another source that this time of the year is 21 days. This is a Gemara that all the Darshanim all speak about this Gemara. The Gemara talks about the conversations and the debate between Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya and the Chachmei Atuna. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya and the sages of Athens, the wise men of Athens, the heretics of Athens. And it's interesting that throughout Shas, just as an aside, who is always selected to debate the Chachmei Atuna, or to debate the Maskilim, or the Minim, or the Apikarsim? The best candidate, the one who they're always sending, is Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. By the way, it always struck me, who is this Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, that he's always debating the Apikarsim? He must be this really educated, worldly person who has such broad background that he's able to converse and debate the Apikarsim. One thing we know about Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya is that, what does it say in Perkei Avos? That Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said about Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, what? Ashrei Yoladotai, fortunate is his mother. And the Mefarshim bring down a tradition that we have, that from the time that this little boy was young, his mother would wheel him into the Beis HaMedrash, so that as soon as the first sound that he would hear would be the sound of Torah. This is an individual who had no exposure whatsoever to anything other than pure, unadulterated Torah. He's the only one who could debate the Chachmei Atuna. Just the opposite of what you would have thought. You know, we're not so into these ecumenical debates or these types of discussions and dialogue, because we don't have people, the character of Yeshua ben Chananya, who are so fully immersed in Torah. If somebody's not fully immersed in Torah, they're not necessarily qualified to be able to have a dialogue. Maybe they'll be influenced. Maybe they'll be affected by such a discussion. We need someone like Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, who Ashrei Yoladotai, all his ears ever heard were the pure words of Torah. Be it as it may, one of the very difficult, perplexing questions they posed to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was, here it is, you have two chickens. You have a black chicken, you have a white chicken, and they both produce white eggs. How's that possible? Seems like an odd question. It's Gemara in Bechorah, Sandav Ches. What exactly was the question? So the Maharsha says, there's something unique about the egg. The egg takes how many days to develop? 21 days to develop. And you can have a black chicken and a white chicken, and they both produce 21 egg that takes 21 days to develop. That corresponds to two periods on our calendar that are exactly 21 days. What are they? From Rosh Hashanah till Hoshana Rabbah is 21 days, right? We say Hoshanah is 51 days from the beginning of Elul until Hoshana Rabbah. And then the other 21 days are the 3 weeks. And the question is, how could it be that from one God emanates 21 Yimei HaRachamim and 21 Yimei HaPeronios? How is it possible? That this was a question about God's unity. How could from one God come 21 days of punishment and 21 days of mercy? And the answer is, the Maharsha explains, what Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya told them was, both of these 21-day periods are mechaper, the avoinos of Klal Yisrael, and bring the Jewish people closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what I would like to bring out from here is that what item in the world represents this period of the year, the 3 weeks? The egg. Why the egg? Because it takes 21 days for the egg to develop. So here you have two analogies to the 3 weeks. Number one, the makel shaked, the almond tree, which takes 21 days to develop. And number two, the egg, which takes 21 days to develop. The Arizal also says, if you look at number 4 in the Shar HaKavanos, the Arizal says that during the Bein HaMetzarim, which are 21 days between Shavuot, Asar v'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, the Arizal says it's a proper minog to sit during midpoint of the day, Ba'avelos, and to cry over the Chorban HaBayis. But I just want to bring out from the Arizal is, Arizal also gives the number 21. So you have the Makel Shake 21, you have the eggs 21, you have the Arizal 21. The problem is, you know, if you've ever graduated second grade mathematics, you would know that in 3 weeks there are not 21 days. We all know there are 22 days in the 3 weeks. Because whatever day Shavuot Asar v'Tammuz is, the same day of the week is Tisha B'Av. So if this year Shavuot Sabbath Tammuz was Shabbos Sunday, Tisha B'Av is Shabbos to Sunday. So it doesn't require, you know, it's not rocket science to figure out that it's 22 days. It's 3 weeks plus a day. So all of these sources that say the 3 weeks are 21 days, they're all off by one. I know in Gematria you're allowed to be off by one, but it would seem that we're not dealing with a Gematria over here. We're using examples in the physical world. We're using the example of the Makel Shoket, the almond tree, which is 21 days, the egg, which is 21 days. Why do we keep on referring to the 3 weeks as 21 days when in fact they're 22 days? And by the way, the concept that the 3 weeks are 22 days is very, very significant. There's a lot of importance in the number 22. The B'nai Yisrael, for example, writes that he says, every hour in the 3 weeks is precious. How many hours are in the 3 weeks? So he says, well, there are 22 days in the 3 weeks. 24 hours a day. That's how many hours in the 3 weeks? 528 hours. He's using the number 22. What's the significance of 528? Mafteach, key. Key is 528. Meaning the key to the Geula is something which equals 528. You know what that is? Do you know how many prakim there are in Shas? You know how many prakim there are in Shisha Sidrei Mishnah? Says Megala Amugais, there are 528 prakim in Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. To teach you that the key to the Geula, the key to redemption, is the mastery of the Torah Shebaal Peh, the 528 prakim. In fact, the B'nai Yisrael asks that if you count, there are only 523. Rabbi Shaya Berlin, in his Hagos on Shas, writes, there are only 523 prakim in Shas. So what does Megala Amukos mean that there are 528 prakim? So the B'nai Yisrael writes, no, it's all true, it's accurate. You see, there are 523 prakim of Mishnah, and there are an additional 5 prakim in Shas that are added that are not technically Mishnayos. So for example, the 4th parak of Bikurim is not technically a Mishnah. The last parak of Avos is Shanu Chachamenu B'lashon HaMishnah, it's a Braisa. You have Toisefta added to Psachim, you have a Toisefta added to Kedushin, and you have Toisefta added to Saita. So really you have 523 Prakim of Mishnah, an additional 5 Prakim either of Toisefta or Braisa, 528, because the key of Geula is the Mafteach, is the 528 Prakim of Shas. Like the Medrash tells us, Gam ki yitnu bagoyim ein hagoliyos miskansois ela b'shvil ha-Mishnah. It's an amazing thing. If you look in the Mishnah at the end of Tainus, the Mishnah talks about the 5 tragedies that occurred on Shavuot Sabbatamos. So what are they? Well, we know Nishtabra HaLuchos, the Luchos were broken. That was the first one. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and he shatters the Luchos. And as we're going to see, when he shattered the Luchos, the Medrash tells us in a number of places, the letters flew off the Luchos. Don't forget about that. And then the Mishnah says, Batal ha-tamid, the carbon tamid, stop being brought. And then the Mishnah says, V'hufka ha-ir, the walls of the city were breached by the second Beis HaMikdash. V'saraf apostamis es ha-tayra, apostamis burnt the tayra. And then, V'hemid selam b'heichal, they erected an avodah zarah in the heichal. And the Aruch Lener asks, you know, it's very interesting that these 5 tragedies happened all on Shavuot Sabbatamos. What's it got to do with my life? Okay, I didn't tell Moshe to break the luchos. I told him to break the luchos. If I would have told him to break the luchos, then I understand that I should fast on Shavuot Sabbatam. I put up the tzelem in the heichal. I didn't put up no tzelem in the heichal. If I would have been there, I would have stopped him. Why do I need to fast because of all these tragedies that happened? And it seems like quite a random string of tragedies. First of all, think about the timeline of it. Moshe broke the luchos in the Midbar. The carbon tamid was broke, it was ceased. It's machloikis. Was it bias rishon? Was it bias sheni? The walls of the city were opened up, were breached. Bias sheni. Apostamus burnt the Torah. The tselem was put in the heichal, according to some, was bias rishon. It seems like a random order of tragedy. And the Aruch Haner says, quite frighteningly and quite powerfully, that this Mishnah is giving us the key to Jewish demise and destruction. In other words, these are not 5 random tragedies. These are 5 tragedies that repeat themselves throughout history, And these are ideas and concepts that we have to think about in our own life. Says the Aruch Lener, this is the five-step downward spiral of the Jewish people. It all starts with Nishtabru Haluchais. It all starts when the commitment to regular study of the Torah breaks. That's the beginning of the end. Yeah, person maybe was committed to learning or wishes they were committed to learning. The moment the commitment is slightly broken, then what happens next? Batal hatamid. The daily service of God starts to slip away. First it starts with maybe Marev with a minyan or Mincha with a minyan. Maybe then it goes to Tuesday and Wednesday. And then just the regular daily Avodas Hashem ceases. That's Batal HaTamed. And once the daily service of God ceases, then the city has been breached. Who's the city? The Gemara tells us that the person is the city. We are the city. We are the Ir Katana. We are the small city with very few guards. And once we're prey, once our city is open, we are prey to the Yetzer Hara, and the Yetzer Hara comes and burns down the Torah, and then a generation or two later, when you see, instead of the Magen David dangling around the neck, when you see a different symbol, you can know you could always trace it back to Nishtabru Haluchais. It starts very innocuously. It starts with Nishtabru Haluchais. It starts with a slackening off in Limud HaTorah. Then goes the daily service of Hashem. Then we're open prey. Therefore, we understand why there are 528 hours in the 3 weeks. Because in order to rectify the problem of Nishtabru Haluchais, where the Luchais were broken and the commitment to Limud HaTorah slackened off, we need 528 hours to rededicate ourselves to the prakim of Shishi Sidrei Mishnah. You know, there's a well-known gematria of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld that when he said this gematria, the Brisk Rav said, he said it Beruach HaKodesh. The Pasuk says, we're going to lay it on Tisha B'Av, on Shabbos Chazoin. Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh v'shaveha b'tzedakah. Tzion will be redeemed with justice, and her captives will be returned b'tzedakah. Says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh is gematria Talmud Yerushalmi, v'shaveha b'tzedakah is gematria Talmud Bavli. In other words, that's what it takes. That's what it all boils down to. The rededication and the recommitment to repair what started on Yitzayin B'Tammuz, which is Nishtaber Haluchais. Okay, coming back to the question, friends. Everybody's saying there are 21 days in the 3 weeks. The problem we just said, the Bnei Yisrael, there are 22 days times 24 hours, the 528 hours. You could count them, there are 22 days. Why is everybody referring to the 3 weeks as 21 days? Well, there's a missing day. There's a missing day in the 3 weeks. There must be one day that doesn't seem to count. And you would have to say that if there's one day that doesn't count, by the way, one more item. The Arizal writes, now I'm not saying you should do this, or we're on the level to do this, but just be aware that during the 3 weeks, when you say the first blessing of Shemoneh Esrei, and you say the name of Hashem, you should think about the letters that precede the name of Hashem. So if you take God's name, Yud, then a Hey, and then a Vav, and then a Kei, the letters that precede the Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei are what? Tes, Dalid, Hey, Dalid. Yeah? Tes, Dalid, Hey, Dalid. Tes and Dalid is 13. Hey and Dalid is 9. A total of how many? 22. Ah! The 22 days of the 3 weeks, says Arizal. Why are they alluded to in the letters before God's name? Because the days of the 3 weeks are very hidden days. They're Nistar, they're Nelam. They're almost ignored. There's something about them that has not been brought out yet. There's a latent potential in these days that are Nelam. They're the letters before the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Tes Dalid, Hey Dalid. Tes Dalid is what? 13. Those are the 13 days of Tammuz. From Yudzayin B'Tammuz until the end of the month, Tammuz is always Chasar, 29 days. Hey Dalid are 9. Those are the 9 days of Av. So here the Arizal is saying there are 22 days in the 3 weeks. By the way, the Arizal says an incredible thing. Tes Dalid are the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. Hey Dalid are the 9 Midos Harachamim. What does that mean? 13 Midos Harachamim, 9 Midos Harachamim. There are 13 Midos Harachamim that Moshe Rabbeinu davened after he broke the Luchos. After he broke the Luchos, that Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham, Mechano, Nechavar, Mevches, Yemes. But after the Chid HaMeraglim by Tisha B'Av, he only invoked 9 of the Midos HaRachamim. So the 13 days of Tammuz correspond to the 13 Midos HaRachamim that Moshe Rabbeinu invoked after Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, after the Shviras HaLuchos. And the 9 days of Av correspond to the 9 Midos HaRachamim that Moshe Rabbeinu invoked by after the Chid HaMeraglim. But here the Arizal is saying 22. So what's this number 21? Which day are we not counting? So you would think, it's most reasonable to say, that we all know that even though Tisha B'Av is such a tragic day, on the other hand, there's this dichotomy that Tisha B'Av is considered a Mayid. It's even brought in Shulchan Aruch. We don't say Tachnon on Tisha B'Av. The Pasuk says, Kara Olai Mayid Lishbar Bachurai. So Tisha B'Av is this Mayid. It's a Yom Tif. And therefore, maybe Tisha B'Av doesn't really fully make the bill of being part of the 3 weeks. And therefore, when we say the number of days in the 3 weeks, we're not including Tisha B'Av. Pinchas Karatzer explains that everything good in this world has to first be broken down completely for it to develop and come to full fruition. He says an egg sort of decomposes and then regenerates. A seed decomposes and then sprouts forth. So too, in order to have the Binyan Bayis HaShlishi, we had to have the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash 2 times on Tisha B'Av, so that ultimately it would be rebuilt on Tisha B'Av. But that's odd, that the most tragic day on the calendar shouldn't count. Here you have 22 days. The first 21 days we're going to count. But I get it, Tisha B'Av is a Moyed, it's somewhat of a Yom Tif, but it shouldn't be part of the 3 weeks when we talk about the 21 days. Why are we not counting Tisha B'Av? If you examine Megillah Seicha, what time do I have till? 40. You examine Megillah Seicha, we know there are 5 prakim. Perek Aleph, how many psukim in Perek Aleph? 22 psukim by the letters of the Aleph Beis. How many psukim in Perek Beis? 22 psukim by the letters of the Aleph Beis. How many psukim in Perek Gimel? 66 psukim, the Aleph Beis 3 times. How many psukim in Perek Dalet? 22 psukim. So Gemara asks, why are there 22 psukim in Eicha? Every Perek is 22 keneged the Aleph Beis. Says the Gemara, why were they punished with Eicha Keneged the Aleph Beis, number 12? Because they violated the Torah that was given with the Aleph Beis. The Maral says something incredible. Oyem v'noira, says the Maral, that we know the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the big 3. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim. Those are big, big Averas. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. Now Sinas Chinam, maybe in and of itself, a one-time violation, maybe you can make the case it's somewhat minor. After all, there's no malchus, there's no lashes. Lashes are not ordained for somebody who violates sinas chinam. It's not punishable by death. But it's a type of avera that Rabbeinu Yonah writes. You repeat it, you repeat it, you repeat it, you repeat it. It's like a thread that's repeated again and again and again. It becomes a very thick rope. The Maral says, Perek Aleph, Perek Beis, and Perek Dalet of Megillas Eicha, the psukim are very, very long. Perek Gimel, which has 3 Aleph Beises, the psukim are very short. Ani agever anu yibishay v'edavrasai. They're very short. Tov lagever sheyisal benurav. Very short psukim. Some of them you don't even have an asnach damil the pasuk. Maral says, very simple. The Perek Aleph, Perek Beis, and Perek Dalet all begin with the word Eicha. Eicha. What's the gematria of Eicha? 36. Perek Gimel does not begin with the word Eicha. Perek Gimel begins with the word Ani HaGever, Ra Ani. Why? Why do Perek Aleph, Beis, and Dalet begin with the word Eicha, and Perek Gimel not begin with the word Eicha? The Gemara in Krisa says, why were we punished with the word Eicha? Because we violated the 36 Chayavei Krisais. We violated all 36 sins that we could be liable to that terrible death penalty. By the way, during which Beis HaMikdash did we violate the 36 Krisais? First Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says they violate Avodah Zarah, Gilui Araya, Shvichas Damim. Second Beis HaMikdash, they didn't violate the Chayavei Krisais. Second Beis HaMikdash, it was only Sinas Chinam. So the Maharal says incredibly, Perek Aleph that begins with Eicha, Perek Beis that begins with Eicha, Perek Daleh that begins with Eicha, correspond to the first Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash, they violated the big three Chayavei Krisais. Therefore, there are three Prakim for Churban Bayis Rishain. And the Psukim are long, long Psukim, because the Averos are very, very, very bad. And that's why Perek Aleph, Beis, and Daled begin with the word Eicha, because in the first Beis HaMikdash, they violated the 36 Chayavei Krisais. By the second Beis HaMikdash, they didn't violate no Chayavei Krisais. They didn't. The Gemara says they learned Torah, they were Isaac B'Torah, V'Gemilas Chasadim. They didn't violate any Chayavei Krisais. The only thing they did is they did this little Avera called Sinas Chinam. Therefore, the Psukim are very short. Therefore, it does paragimel, the psukim are very short. It doesn't begin with Eicha. But they did it again and again and again and again. Therefore, each letter of the Aleph Beis has three psukim. To teach, says the Gemara, that lalamed sheshkula sinas chinam keneged avodah zarah gilui arayos shvichas damim. That in fact, sinas chinam is equal to the big three. But be it as it may, the Gemara says that we violated all 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, and therefore Eicha has 22 letters in each pasuk. Says Reb Tzadok HaKohen, if the Gemara is saying that because we violated the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, we're punished with 22 letters in Eicha. Probably, says Reb Tzadok, that's why there are 22 days in the 3 weeks. Because if the reason we were punished with Eicha, 22 letters of Eicha, is because we violated all the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, probably that's why there are 22 days of the 3 weeks to rectify all the letters of the Aleph Beis that we destroyed, we violated. But maybe there's another way to look at it. So I'm close with a big Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Pinchas Friedman. He wrote volumes called Shvilei Pinchas. He's the Rosh Koilel of Bells. He's a tremendous Baal Machshava. And last year he sent me, I asked him, how do you compose your pieces? So he said, Daniel, I'll give you a little taste. So in the beginning of the week he sent me his Maimer, like a draft. He's actually flying from America to Eretz Yisrael. And then on Monday he sent me like a second edition. And then the next day he sent me the third edition. And the fourth edition he wrote, he said on the plane, Bein Shamayim Va'aretz, between heaven and earth. The Medrash says, it's found in a number of places, I brought it on the sheet in number 14 and 15, that when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchais, so we imagine it, he's holding the tablets, which were not rounded on the top. Good, they have it right over here, okay. And he's holding it, and he was about to shatter it, and, we picture that he shattered the luchais. No. The Medrash says that as he's about to shatter the luchais, they got heavier and heavier and heavier. You know why they got heavier and heavier? Because the letters of the luchais flew off. The letters flew off the luchais. Flying letters. Look at number 14, Davar Acher. Sheparchu aksuvim in aluchais. The words flew off. Look at number 15, the Yalkut Shemoni. Ulechol hayorach hazaka, nistakel Moshe beluchos v'ra'ak savshem shepoireach. He saw the letters flew, v'kavdu al yadoi, and it got really heavy, and that's why they fell. So it's very possible then, that if the 3 weeks is sort of kicked off and triggered by the breaking of the luchos, and the luchos broke, how many letters of the Aleph Beis? 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. That's likely why there is a connection. There are 22 days of the 3 weeks. Because we're commemorating the breaking of the Torah on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. We know the Medrash says when Moshe broke the Luchais, what happened? The Torah was forgotten. the Torah was forgotten. Had Moshe not broke the Luchos, the Torah would never be forgotten. That's why, what's the Avodah of Chodesh Tammuz? What does Tammuz stand for? Rav Nachman of Breslov says, Tammuz stands for Zichru Toiras Moshe. Remember the Torah, don't forget it. Because when Moshe took the Luchos, he shattered it. He brought Shikcha to the world. The Avodah of Tammuz is Zichru Toiras Moshe. So you say, what happened to the Vav? Doesn't Tammuz have a Vav? Says Rav Nachman, of course it has a Vav, but the Luchos were Vav by Vav, and they broke, so we don't have to use the Vav in Tammuz. Or we could say Tammuz stands for Zman Matan Torah Seinu. That's when the Torah was given. Moshe tried to give us the Torah. It didn't work out. So from the moment Moshe took those luchais and he shattered it, and the letters went flying, we now are in Avelos. We're trying to retrieve those 22 letters. If we retrieve those 22 letters during the 528 hours of Tammuz by mastering Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh, then that's the mafteach of Geula. That's the mafteach, that's the key of redemption. So again, now the question is, what are the 21 days? I thought he broke the luchos, and now all the letters of the Aleph Beis went flying. Says Hagoyin Rav Pinchas Friedman, Shlita, an incredible chap. Not so fast. Hold your horses. When Moshe broke those luchos, yes, all the letters went flying. But were all the letters written on the Luchos? Did the Luchos actually have all 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet? There's a famous Gemara in Baba Kama. It's almost inexplicable Gemara. We have no way to understand it. But the Gemara says, if you look at number 17, Shoal Rabbi Chanina ben Ogil es Rabbi Chia bar Abba. Mimnei ma b'dibrois harishoinois le nemar b'hem toiv u'b'dibrois achrenes nemar b'hem toiv. Why does it say Toiv on the second Luchais and not on the first Luchais? You know, it does not say the word Toiv on the first Luchais. By the first Luchais, it says, so you should live long. And by the Dibrois Achroinos, the Dibrois Shnios, it says, Uleman Yitavlach. It doesn't say Toiv by the Luchais Shnios. Now, in between, the Gemara says, really? Why are you asking me why it says Toiv? You should ask me if it does say Toiv. Which seemingly is impossible to explain. Here you have an Amoira who doesn't know if it says the word Toiv in the second Luchos. Look in a Chumash. How is it possible that you have a Torah sage who doesn't know a Pasuk in a Chumash? This is a Gemara. Everybody speaks about this Gemara. But I'm not going to speak about it today. But what the Gemara says openly is that by the second Luchos, it says Toiv. By the first Luchos, it doesn't say Toiv. Says the Gemara, you know why it doesn't say Toiv by the first Luchos? Because Toiv is good. And when God says good, it means absolute good, total good, perfect good. Like Chazal say, Ein Toiv Ela Toira. If Moshe would have taken that word Toiv, and he would have shattered the word Toiv, then we never would be able to have Toiv again in our history. So the Ribbono Shel Olam purposely omitted the word Toiv, because if it would have said Toiv on the Luchos, and Moshe would have broke the Luchos, then Toiv would have gone down the drain forever and ever and ever. Says the Gemara, I have to read to you the words. You should be familiar with these words. Amar Rav Ashi, at the end of number 17. Chas v'shalom paska toiva mi Yisrael. Because the Gemara says, the reason it doesn't say toiva on the first luchais is soifan l'hishtaber. It's eventually going to be broken. So the Gemara says, v'chi soifan l'hishtaber am I havi? Who cares if it's eventually going to be broken? Says Rav Ashi, you can't break the toiv! If you break the toiv goes down the drain. The Bnei Yisrael has an incredible remez. So what day did Moshe break the Luchos? What day of Tammuz? 17. 17 is Gematria. Toiv! You know what's Toiv about the 17th day of Tammuz? That it didn't say Toiv on the Luchos. Sometimes what's Toiv is not Toiv. And what is Toiv is not. You know why the luchos were broken on the day of Toiv, on the day of 17? Because it was so Toiv that it didn't say Toiv. So in order to preserve Toiv forever and ever and ever, Hashem had Moshe break a luchos that doesn't have Toiv on it. What was Toiv was the fact that there's no Toiv on the luchos. So it comes out then how many letters were written on the luchos? Only 21 letters were written on the luchos. How many letters were broken off the luchos? 21 letters on luchos. What do you mean, the 21? No, the letter test did not appear on the luchos. The Chassam Sofer has a beautiful drush. Parak Ayin Gimel Tehillim, number 19. Mizmar la'asaf. Ach, toiv li Yisrael. Ach is 21, Aleph Chaf. 21, the fact that there are only 21 letters on the luchos, toiv li Yisrael, that's good for the Jewish people. Because if there would have been 22 letters on the luchos, that would have been ra li Yisrael. Because that means that toiv would have gone down the drain. So it comes out then that if we would ascribe each letter of the Hebrew alphabet to a different day of the 3 weeks, after all, that's what Reb Tzadik HaKohen says, that each letter of the Hebrew alphabet corresponds to another day of the 3 weeks. Then is it possible to say that what letter corresponds to Tisha B'Av, the ninth day of Tam, of Av? The letter Tes. The letter that was never broken. The letter that survived. The letter that wasn't even there to begin with. The letter that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't break. Because if he would have broke it, then all hope would have been lost. In fact, that means the day that Moshe broke the Luchos is a very hopeful day. Because Ribbono Shel Olam orchestrated that and ensured that our ultimate salvation would never go down the drain. In fact, Rav Pinchas Friedman said, it could be that's why Moshe knew he was allowed to break the luchos. You know, Moshe looks at the luchos. He says, should I break this? Should I not break this? This is not going to be good for the Jewish people if I break the luchos. And Moshe Rabbeinu starts looking at the letters of the luchos, and he sees the aleph, and he sees the beis, and he sees the gimel, and he says, there's no tes over here. Wait a second, if there's no test and I break it, there's still hope for rejuvenation. Oh, must be, the Ribbono Shel Olam Bedafka didn't put a test. He's allowing me to break it because there still be hope if I break the luchos. What gave Moshe Rabbeinu the clue that he could break the luchos is the fact that the letter test is conspicuously absent. You know, the Gemara says in Baba Kama, Haroya tes bechalaim simin toiv hulai. If you see the letter tes in a dream, let's say during the shir now, you doze off a little bit, or even not now, anytime, you know. Let's say, you know, there's a guy who every time the rabbi got up to speak, within minutes, guy was out cold. Like the rabbi could be like 2 minutes into the drasha, the guy was like out snoring. And one time the rabbi was like walking up to the podium. And the guy was already out cold. The rabbi got so he said, you're already sleeping. He said, Rabbi, I trust you. But anyway, the Gemara says in Bava Kama, the Gemara says, if you see a test in a dream, it's a simen toiv. It's a good simen. It's a good simen. It's a simen of toiv. Says the Maral, the Gemara says, when is the best time of existence? You know, in our existence, in any stage, Eov says, "Mi yaneni ki yarche kedem." I wish I could go back to the good old days. You know, what are the good old days? The good old days are in utero. When the Gemara says in Masechet Nida, a malach comes and teaches a person kala Torah kula, and the Gemara says that a person's eyes are closed. V'roya mi soifa oilam v'yad soifai v'ner dolok al roishai. Says the Gemara. If you look at number 25, ve'ein lecha yamim she'adam sharoi b'toiva yoiser me'oisan hayamim. There's no greater day of toiva. There are no better days of toiva than during the 9 months that a person is in utero. Listen to this description of the Gemara. The Gemara says how wonderful it is b'mei imai. The Gemara says, says the Gemara, "Ve'ein lecha yamim she'adam sharoi b'toiva." You want to know what toiva is? In utero. Says the Maharal, you think it's coincidence that the greatest taiva in the world is for how long? 9 months. It's not a coincidence. There's a reason why the greatest taiva in the world is for 9 months. What letter is mayor? What letter is predominant during the 9 months of Ibor? The letter test. In other words, if you could take a sonogram, it doesn't come up. I've seen sonograms that they were not able to capture a letter test. They don't know what they're looking for. But if you got a really good view, you would see that B'mei Imai, the letter test is mayor on the baby through the letter test, which is Ein L'cha Yomim Shadim Shari B'toiva. Through that, it's Melameid Kol HaTorah Kula, meaning the possibility to know the entirety of the Torah is through the letter test. So when the Gemara says that if the letter test was broken on the Luchais, then we would have lost Taiva forever, that means we never would have been able to retrieve the forgotten Torah that was caused by Moshe breaking the Luchais. So Moshe broke the Luchais, but the good news is the letter test is never broken. Through the letter test, everything could be restored. There are 22 days of the 3 weeks, but there's one letter and one day that retains its ability to restore everything for the Jewish people. And that's the ninth day of Av. The ninth day of Av is Keneged the Ois Tess. The Ois Tess, which is mayor in the 9 months of pregnancy, the Ois Tess, that through that Ois Tess, we could retrieve all the Torah that was forgotten through the Shviras HaLuchais. So Moshe breaks the Luchais on the first of the day of the 3 weeks, but he understands that the Ribbono Shel Olam is saving for us the ninth day. Now the ninth day of Av is a tragic day. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But latent in that day is the letter test. Let me tell you one last thing about the letter test. The Radvaz writes about the Ois test. There's no Ois in the Aleph Beis, which is a clay kibbol like the Ois test. Think about all the letters of the Aleph Beis. None of them have receptacles. They're either open, or an opening on the right side, or the left side, or it's open on the bottom. Nothing could receive anything. So you could think of it two ways. Tisha B'Av, which is Keneged the Ois test, it's the bottomless pit. It's an endless day of tzara. All the Jewish tragedies keep on recurring again and again and again. It's like a pit that never ends. Yirmiyah HaNavi cursed the day of his birth, Tisha B'Av. First Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, Beitar, Inquisition. But it's also a tremendous kli kibbol. It's also a tremendous receptacle. It also has tremendous possibility for bracha. And if we are able to connect to the Ois Tess through the 528 hours of the 3 weeks, then we are grateful to Ribbono Shel Olam that he removed that Ois Tess from the Luchai, so that when all the letters of the Aleph Beis were broken, that one is still preserved as the receptacle for us to pour into it all of our avodah and all of our preparations. Maybe may Hashem find our preparations beratzayin lefanav v'shvitaka b'zoicha to restore the Torah that was forgotten and restore the binyan beis hamikdash b'mher v'yameinu amen.
Shkaya. You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.